We're grateful for God's blessing, and His Word is our light to our path. And different thoughts come to mind, so sometimes I should just keep them in there and let them pass, and other times I let them speak. But anyhow, I was with my incompetence or whatever, with not remembering names. I remember the lady who was she escaped from communist Russia back in the 60s, and she and other women who had escaped from Russia, they would smuggle Bibles back into Russia. And so at great risk to her life and the lives of these individuals, they would smuggle Bibles back in, you know, back into Russia to prayer groups. And prayer groups, just to let you know, they would not tell anybody where they're meeting. They would all just show up one place. They depended on the Holy Spirit to tell them where to go and when to go. And when the KGB or whomever caught them, they would send them to psychiatric wards where they would give them mind-erasing drugs. And the people that she visited in these places, they didn't remember their names, they didn't remember where they were at, their kids, their husbands, or wives. They didn't remember anything, but they could quote you scripture. The very thing they tried to erase from their memories, it was embedded in their spirit, and they couldn't erase it. She was a powerful speaker and a very godly woman and she lived her faith by smuggling Bibles back into Russia, and they would have pages of the Bible. They wouldn't have a whole Bible. They would be lucky to have pages of the Bible. And if they were found with pages of the Bible, they were sent to Siberia to these camps. So, and some of them were sent to the psychiatric wards. But so their value of the Word was immense. And so it was life to them. You know, we sing in the very Word. It's life to me. I breathe it. And here were these people in severe oppression, at risk of their own life and their families' lives, becoming believers in Jesus Christ. So we have very little idea of what it costs to be a follower of Jesus. Well, today I'm looking at God's divine provisions. And whenever we think of God's provisions, think about God's our walk with God daily, and our daily walk with God becomes yearly walk with God, and yearly turns into decades, and then decades turns into seasons. I was thinking of that, the seasons of our life. And sometimes we look back over the seasons of our life and of our faith. But the understanding is that no matter what season we have been in, whether I as a child and my grandmother and my mother and dad, you know, faith and church, and it's always been a part of my life, or whether it's just newly coming to the Lord, it is very much a part of who we are, and we these are growing seasons. Whether it's in the, you know, it's the winter of our lives, it's still a growing season. And so we're growing in our understanding of the divine promises. We're growing in our understanding of God's provisions. So when we think about God's divine provisions, no matter what season we are in our life, no matter where we are at in our life, God's provisions are there, and it is given to us and is declared to us that we have a loving Heavenly Father and that He is intimately involved in our life. We have an intimate relationship with the God who created this universe, who breathes into us the breath of life, and that we are a living soul, and we have a life eternal with Christ. So the first divine provision, of which I have six, the first divine provision is God's provides for our daily life. Matthew 6:26. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? So this text is sandwiched in there between the verses 25 and 34, which focus on worry. You know, worry. Worry means to divide, tear, rip apart, to pull in opposite directions. How many are worrywarts, worrywarms, worriers? That in the worry we are ripping apart, pulling in opposite directions to divide. So when we worry about something or worry about life, what's going to happen next, where's all this taking me, the Bible is telling us not to worry. Have you considered? You know, well, some people say, I don't have worry, I have a healthy concern. Well, there is a legitimate emotion and a legitimate thought about being concerned about your life and, you know, being concerned about today, tomorrow, and the future. That's a legitimate concern, and we need to prepare. But the real problem is providing enough spiritual energy to respond with godly solutions. So if I am worrying, we cancel out the worrying. If we have healthy concerns, basically what we need to do is to anchor what God has given to us in his word. So when Jesus was speaking about life, eating and drinking and the body and what you will wear and questions that would ask about daily life, well, Jesus counters with life, is not life more than food and clothing? So the things we worry or are concerned about, Jesus gives us something to think about. Verse 26, he tells us to look at the birds. They do not sow, they do not reap, nor gather into the barns. So the first words of verse 26, look at the birds. And then the last words or phrase of verse 26, look at your heavenly Father. Look at the birds, look at your heavenly Father. How many people like to look at birds? After church, I want to show you a picture. Rhonda took pictures of eagles. And they're in the nest, you know, male and female. And they are, well, I'll show you. See it all right now? So I'll show you after church. But she took pictures of the eagles there in Florida where she's at. And if you like birds, okay, sometimes I was driving down the highway, well, it was a couple of years ago, and there was this hawk just barreling into this bush. And there was this little bird flighting back and forth, up and down. This hawk could not catch the bird. And it wouldn't give up. It just kept flying away and bringing its talons down in there to grab the hawk. And I was thinking, wow, God, you gave that bird some sense. You know, it gave him some flighting skills. Well, the emphasis then, as you look at birds and you look at them feeding, okay? So I'm giving you an illustration. I'm giving you a thought. When you look at the birds and watch them feeding, the emphasis that Jesus is providing is, are we not more than birds? And God, your heavenly Father, takes care of the birds. Are you not much more than they? So when you look at the birds, remember, you are much greater than they, and God is providing for them as they go looking for food. So you're going to do that? They come to your house? You have a bird feeder? Yeah. So if you have a bird feeder, what are you doing? Feeding the birds. You're like the Heavenly Father who takes care of us. Sometimes God provides a feeder. So, a grocery store maybe. So, it reminds me of the scripture, ask and ye shall, Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Glenda, the other day I was trying to remember a word, you know, that is against, you know, me, my words, remembering words. Jesus encourages perseverance. And here's the word, two words, active patience. sounds like an oxymoron. They don't go together. But they are active patience. So the bird who is looking for food is patient but active, flying from bush to bush, flying from feeder to feeder, whatever, looking for food. And so we have an active patience. We're not laying around, you know, it's not laying in a bush somewhere waiting for somebody to pour food on them, you know. So our active patience is allowing God to speak to us and move us, as it were, to find the food, find what God has provided for us. So we just can't lay around and do nothing. We are actively involved. So look at the bird. Remember, it's an active patience, moving from bush to bush, moving from place to place, an active patience, looking for the provision of God. And remember, you are much more valuable to God than the bird. Amen. I could quit there, right? I'm not. So look at the birds, look at your Heavenly Father. Two, the second divine provision is strength in trials. Life is not without its challenges, but God promises His strength and presence to sustain us no matter what the season of our life or the difficulties that we face. Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So God promises Israel that they are not to be afraid of their enemies because God is faithful to the promises. Look at the birds, look at God. Remember, God is faithful. He is faithful to His promises. And with Israel, He was telling them that the enemies will weaken and vanish while God will strengthen Israel. The New Testament talks to us as Christians in 2 Corinthians 12:9. And He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Now, grace is God's unmerited favor. But with the unmerited favor, is divine favor that comes to our life, not because we earn it, but because that's God's character to give it to us. Now, I talked about this before. God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Now, we have this, we talked about this on Wednesday night at a Bible study, that what if, and this is, it could be this way, and it could, you know, just depends on how we interpret the verse, that whenever we accept Christ as our Savior, we have always thought of it as, I have always thought of it as, God then writes our name in His book of life. Well, we know that also that children who die before the age of accountability, children who are aborted or die, you know, prematurely, that their names are in God's book of life and they're already there. So one of the thoughts that we brought out on Wednesday night was God has written every person's name in the book of life. That God wants everyone to live forever. But if we don't accept Christ as our Savior, our name goes away. And so God wants us to come to Him. You know, the main sin of humanity is rebellion against God. So Jesus died to cure our rebellion. Think about that. We are rebelling against God. That's why we don't accept Him as Savior. That's why we don't accept His principles. Somehow we fight against the godly things like, oh, they don't exist. This means nothing to me. Christians are hypocrites, all that kind of garbage. Well, the understanding is God sees our rebellion, and He's not rebellious, but He pays the price so that we can give up our rebellion. See, that's love. That's divine love. And the divine love of God then comes into our life to help us with this grace and this understanding that God's grace is sufficient. So God will not withhold any good thing. See, that's where His grace comes in. any good thing that God has, he wants to bring into our life. Any good thing. So you see, we're open to be receptive of the divine because it's God's character to give it. It's based on love. It's based on his love for us. And so as he wants to give to us salvation, forgiveness of sins, as we confess our sins, he wants us to give up our rebellion against him so we can receive his goodness. He wants us to have faith so we can receive his goodness and his grace, his sufficiency into our life. Well, does that mean we'll never have a problem? No. It means that God is going to be with us in every circumstance, giving us his grace, giving us his undeserved favor, giving to us his help, giving to us his strength. All these are giving to us. You see, God's favor rests upon us. You don't make it happen. You allow yourself to receive it. All these things are here with us. Third, God's divine provision is wisdom and guidance. When we face uncertain times or feel that we are lost, God generously provides wisdom to those who seek. James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. I think that's our problem. We always find fault. Find fault with ourselves, we find fault with others, and what we do, we put up roadblocks. Don't you know how to find fault? Just recognize the truth for what it is. Without finding fault, and he will give it to you. So God isn't, if you lack wisdom, God wants us to have this wisdom, which is the ability to understand. Think about this. God wants to give to us the ability to understand about life. Wisdom. He wants us to be able to see life for what it is, and the opportunities and the deceptiveness that comes at us from life, and God wants to give you wisdom enough to see it and act accordingly. Understand the facts and the circumstances of a situation to help us make the best decisions. Wisdom is the ability to understand and then to make a decision. Well, what if I make a wrong decision? Then you will gain wisdom from it. So wisdom isn't being perfect. Wisdom is understanding, and then we're understanding our character, understanding the things, the flaws that go in our character, but understand the strength that comes from Jesus Christ. It is also the ability to apply knowledge correctly, follow through, to do things. You know, don't go 75 miles an hour in a 35 mile an hour speed zone. That's not a good thing to do. And when the policeman pulls you over, you say, this is wisdom. He goes, wow, wisdom. Yeah, this is the way, this is the fine that goes with your coming to this wisdom. We develop such wisdom by basing our lives on what God has revealed in his word. Reading the Word, reading the Proverbs, reading the Psalms, reading the New Testament, we receive wisdom by coming to God and asking for it in faith. Faith and works come together. Faith and doing. Being able to see things for what it is and then act upon it. Fourth, God's divine provision is for forgiveness and salvation. We say, Pastor, it starts, that should be number one. Well, I made it number four because I figured if I use it as number one, you'd say, I know that. And then you would just shut down, you know. But you're not shutting down because it's number four, not number one. Huh? So the greatest provision of all is the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ himself. We have the greatest provision. You are saved from your sin by the blood of Jesus Christ, his love for you, and what God is willing to do to redeem us from our failures, our sins, to let them all go from us. You see, if God did nothing more than that, he's done enough. If God does nothing more than forgive us of our sins and put our name in the book of life for eternity, we're set for eternity. But it's not just about something in the future, it's about now. It's about God's presence with us now. For John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall never perish, but have eternal life. So, if we are to possess God's divine provision, we must begin with the greatest provision of all. Salvation. Divine provision. All of God's divine provisions are based upon his love for you. See, grace, unmerited favor, he loves us, he wants his favor, and everything that he possessed, he wants all of that for us to have access to it, but he can't give it to us all at once because we couldn't handle it. We have to grow in our seasons of life. We have to grow through the situations in life, making application of the word, understanding the word, thinking about it, talking about it, responding to it, and then more comes. You know, I'd have went from first grade to 12th grade, but I wasn't smart enough. So what'd you do? You went to second, third, fourth. You had to go through the process. Why? Because a kindergarten person can't comprehend what's going on in a senior class. You know, it's just way beyond them. We cannot comprehend everything that God has for us, where we are at. And God just incrementally keeps pouring it into our life, and we are to keep growing in our knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Notice that God gave his Son, Jesus Christ, he became a willing sacrifice to pay the price because of man's greatest sin, which is rebellion against God. So God paid the price for our rebellion against him. That's love. It makes no sense. You know, in our natural way of thinking, it doesn't have any sense to it. Because we're the ones who are rebelling. We're the ones who should be paying the price. And God says, no, you can't. You can't do that. You don't have the ability or the power to cancel sin. Only I have that. So therefore, I will pay the price for your rebellion. So there are still people who are rebelling against God, and they are rejecting the price, but we have accepted what God has done for us, and we are forgiven. We are born again, we are saved, whatever terminology you want to have. We have received Christ into our life, and we are changed. Number five, the fifth provision is peace. In a world filled with chaos, God provides a peace that surpasses understanding. Another definition, understanding. Understanding is the ability to comprehend, discern, and apply knowledge. So we see wisdom, we see knowledge, and now we have understanding. Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. These things come to us by the scriptures and by allowing the Holy Spirit to kind of put things together, put the puzzle together in our life. And knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, they all kind of three go together, but they're separate. And so he says that we apply knowledge and wisdom is in accordance with God's will. It is a gift from God that involves the heart aligned with what God wants to do in our life. John 14:27. Understanding. Peace I leave with you. So Jesus is saying, I'm giving you peace. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. This peace is a gift. He says, the world cannot give it. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Understanding is allowing the peace of God, shalom, peace of God be with you, allowing God's peace to be there. At the personal level, this peace is unknown to the unsaved. To those who don't know Christ, they don't have this peace. We know that God is in control. Doesn't feel like it some days, and some days it's like, wow, this is wonderful. But God is in control. And he is taking us towards the point and time in which he returns. But until that day, we then are here allowing the wisdom and knowledge and understanding of the Word of God to become part of our life so that it becomes an anchor to our soul and that we are at peace with God and with one another. And the sixth provision is eternal hope. God not only meets our needs in this life, but he provides for us now to recognize life is more than what we have right now. Life is more than just food and drink. Consider the birds. Look to the birds, look to God. Look to the divine provision of God. It is an eternal hope. Not only will God feed the sparrow today, he will take care of us for eternity. 2 Peter 1:3. His divine power has given us everything we need. God's divine power has given to us everything we need. God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. That the grace and mercy of God are given to us, and as we receive it, it opens our life to everything that God has to become part of us. And again, it's not something we can all just, wow. It's a bit by bit, season by season, daily walk with God. And he says that the divine power has given us everything we need for godly life through our knowledge. Knowledge, wisdom, understanding. Through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Knowledge of him who has called us. Knowledge of Christ has called us. To what? To receive. To be the benefactor of all the blessings that God wants to bestow upon us so that we can be the messenger of God. The ambassador of God, we spoke about last week. We are the ambassador of God. We represent God. And as his representative, everything that the ambassador is based upon who sent him. Whose ambassador is he? He has the authority of the one who sent him. We are the ambassador of Christ. We have the authority of the one who sent us. All authority is given unto him, heaven and in earth. Wow, there's a great power. There's not a great mystery. It's a great blessing. And his divine power refers to Jesus Christ. The power of Christ is our source. Power of Christ. Storm, peace be still. The blind, open. The lame, walk. The message of Christ is one of salvation, forgiveness, restoration. So all things that pertain to life, that God in his eternal protection has given us everything that we need that pertains to life. Not only in this life, but eternal life. That godliness. To be godly is to live reverently, loyally, and obediently toward God. We live reverently, loyally towards God. We are his children. His spirit abides with us. We have knowledge of him, which means an intimate, personal, it's not superficial, but it's a genuine sharing of life with Christ. What would Jesus say to me? Well, what does his word say? Be at peace? Go into all the world and preach the gospel? What does God's word say to us? I am here with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You see, God is speaking to us through his word. And whenever our spirits are open to what God is speaking to us, we have knowledge and wisdom and understanding that he wants to work in our life to take us where we are at and allow us to grow in our knowledge of him and be at peace with ourselves, be at peace with life, knowing that God is with me. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. And I want to end with Ephesians 5, and this is reading from the Phillips translation. He says, live life then with a due sense of responsibility, not as men who do not know the meaning and the purpose of life, but as those who do. Make the best use of your time. Despite all the difficulties of these days, don't be vague about firmly grasp what you know to be the will of God. Don't get your stimulus from wine. You have a danger of excess. But let the Spirit stimulate your soul. Express your joy in singing among yourselves, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making music in your heart for the ears of God. Make music in your heart for the ears of God. God's the only one who understands my tone, my notes. But making music in your heart for the ears of God, thank God at all times for everything. Be a person of gratitude. Well, this doesn't look good. Don't matter. Thank God for it, because God has something else. Thanking God is an action of faith. That what doesn't look good doesn't matter. I'm thanking God for it because I'm believing God is going to turn this around for good. Thank God at all times for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And fit in with each other, part of the body of Christ. Fit in with each other because of your common reverence for Christ. So, here we have. We have divine provision for life and sustenance, strength in trials, wisdom and guidance, forgiveness and salvation, peace and eternal hope because of our common reverence for Christ. Amen. Jesus, we thank you for your divine provisions. Help us, Lord, to be conscious of them. Help our spirits to be aware of your presence. Help us, Lord, to take to heart the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding that you have given to us, that we can be at peace in our soul, in our heart, in our mind. You do all things well, and we thank you. We thank you for every situation because we know you are in charge. Bless us, guide us, let us live in a reverence for your presence and be ambassadors filled with your Spirit, fulfilling your call to spread the message. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.